What is the most common phrase in Scripture? You know. I may have told you before. Have I told you this before? I say it a lot because it's very pertinent to life in Scripture. A lot of the events in Scripture is very central to what goes on. Very pertinent in our lives today, even then, especially our Christian lives. What we do as Christian people. The most common phrase. Even in our own mundaneness, getting up, going grocery shopping, going to the movies, watching TV, no matter what it might be, no matter how major, how minor, our day-to-day adventures, the most common phrase in Scripture is still very relevant and still very important. Know what it is? Of course not. You said no before. Well, you're all just not wanting to say. Do not be afraid. It might not be said that way exactly. It might be don't fear. Or don't sweat small stuff. Do not be afraid and or its variants occur about 365 times between the beginning of Genesis and the end of Revelation. In all different circumstances. All different times in there. An interesting fact about this, I discovered yesterday actually, is that out of those 365 times, at least 10 times, when that message was given to people from God, from his messengers, at least 10 times when it was said, do not be afraid, it was immediately followed by something like, do not be discouraged. Not just, don't be afraid. That's only the dark. Don't be afraid. No, it's this. Don't be afraid of the dark. You know, you keep going. It's nothing but dark. You know, you turn a light on. You're fine. Do not be discouraged. Last week, when we looked at the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd speaking for God says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Don't be afraid. He's saying, I will fear no evil. I won't be afraid. Why? Because you're with me, God. Thou art with me. Don't be discouraged. You can walk through the valley. Don't be afraid, because God is there. These are words. This is an understanding. This is a concept of what we need to keep in the forefront of our minds every day. Because, well, who's afraid of something? Everybody in here afraid of something? Okay. I'm not. I'm not afraid of anything. That's I don't worry about anything. And those true statements, you don't believe me, you can ask her. It drives her absolutely crazy. Oh, it does. Don't worry about anything. I don't care. Yes, yeah, you do. Yeah. And how often do you get chastised for worrying? Every time I catch you worrying. Because there's no reason to worry. Worrying is a kind of fear. You got something going on that needs to be fixed, that's broken or it's in trouble, you do it if you can. If you can't, why worry about it? Right? Well, John here in this story about Jesus' teaching is giving us a little bit of an insight into the minds of Jesus' disciples and their concerns. I mean, he's not teaching directly. I mean, John is not speaking for the disciples, but it's what Jesus is saying that kind of intimates what the disciples are feeling. Jesus is speaking here on or around the night before his crucifixion. This takes place after the Last Supper. And it's a part of the text in John that's called the Farewell Discourse, because it's the last set of stuff that Jesus tells his disciples before he goes bye-bye and leaves. They had just been told that one of them was a traitor. Someone was going to betray them. And that's why he was going to be leaving, because they didn't get the details. They didn't know that he was going to be crucified, buried, and rise up on the third day. Not like if I said, Ellie, what happens to Jesus after the Last Supper? You could tell me. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to get raised up after being buried. We know that. They didn't. Because that was future for them. That's history for us. So this was unimaginable to them. They didn't get it. They saw Jesus not just as some wise guy that was a good teacher, but something more. Now, whether or not they all comprehended who Jesus was in the context of Jesus saying, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, or not, don't know. But they knew that he was not just a person. And they were confused about what he'd been teaching. They were frightened, because even though Jesus didn't say exactly this was going to happen by timetable, by timelines, they got the drift that it wasn't real good. They still don't comprehend what's going on. And Thomas, poor Thomas. I think Thomas is a great guy. Poor Thomas. He's not doubting here. He's the same guy, though. But Thomas is questioning Jesus. Okay, Jesus, you say that you're leaving us, and you're going someplace, and you're going to build this nice house. How do we get there? You haven't told us. I don't get this. How are we supposed to follow you? We can follow everything you've taught us, walking here, but how are we going to get to this wonderful house you're building us? They haven't received the instructions on this. Now, we've got the Bible. Have you ever heard what Bible stands for as an acronym? B-I-B-L-E? Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That's not really what Bible means, but it's a nice little catchphrase. And they didn't have those basic instructions, because for them it was future. For us, it's history. So Jesus starts his discourse, his teaching, with those words, do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And he had to say that to them because they were afraid. He's trying to comfort them down, calm them down, get over their concerns. Let them see that what's going on here is going according to plan. The weird thing is, he's the guy that's going to be crucified and dead the next day. And he's saying to these other people, hey, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. But it's kind of ironic that he's the one telling them that. In many ways, anyway. He tells them to firmly put their trust in God and in himself rather than giving in to a troubled heart. Now, I would say that a troubled heart, like this one over here, when she worries, things are going on and confusing and concerned about something that's going on. That's kind of a troubled heart. For the disciples, though, it was more upfront and in your face, danger and whole change of lifestyle and everything else. And that would have been fear. And Jesus said, don't fall into fear. You got me. Even though I'm leaving, you've got me. Jesus is calling them to make a radical change in their attitude by trusting him. Now, they've trusted him so far, right? They've been following him up and down the shores of the lake and talking to people and learning from him. So they've trusted him up to a point. But now he's telling him he's going away, leaving them leaderless, or so they think, and say, trust me. How hard is that going to be? Just walking out on them. But in his reassurances, Jesus has a surprise for them. He tells them, you're not going to be alone. You're not going to see me standing here anymore. You're not going to hear me teaching you anymore. We're not going to go fishing together or eating barbecue on the beach anymore. But he tells about the Holy Spirit who will be coming. The Advocate. And again, they're confused because that would not be a topic of conversation among first century Jews. The Holy Spirit God gave to very few people in the past. You hear about David having the Holy Spirit, and Saul had the Holy Spirit. It was like one person at a time. But now Jesus told them, I'm going to send you what's called the Paraclete. The word in Greek is parakaleo. And it means advocate, like an attorney standing before a judge, or a counselor. Well, you know, you need to do this, that, or the other thing. A comforter, a helper. And because of this, he can say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And those words and those hearts are just as applicable to us today. Because we all have problems. Individually and together. We have problems. But Jesus is reassuring us just as much as he does those disciples that we're not alone. That we are not leaderless. Because he will be here. The Holy Spirit will be here. God the Father will be here. God is here. We say God is transcendent. Above all, outside of all. But God is also imminent. He's here. And even though our earthly predicaments might not be the greatest in the world, we're not crouching in a foxhole with shells flying over your head or something like that, but the situation might be dire. You might be really, really short of cash. Might be sick. You might have problems in your families. You might have a problem with other people. Wow. Now, none of you would ever have a problem with somebody else, right? Nobody in this room ever has problems with other people. Yeah, you meet somebody, you have problems with them. And how do you handle that? Well, let Jesus do it. Whatever it might be, don't be afraid and don't get discouraged. Because remember what Jesus said. If at first you don't succeed, quit. This is written down. Is that right? Is that the right quote? Jesus never said, if at first you don't succeed, try again. But that would have been that would have resonated in what he said. Don't get discouraged. Keep going. We got to keep slugging in everything we do, both as individuals and as a family. Remember, one definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. That's why Jesus came to earth, because when Jesus came to earth, he was something different. He was the change. And that's when things got done differently. So he is the one that is different. So we need to take comfort from that. We need to take comfort from the Holy Spirit. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit in God and believe in him. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the Spirit. Believe in God. And never, 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 never fear. Don't ever. That doesn't mean you can't be startled. I get startled all the time. Andrew walks up to me and says something. I jump 14 feet up off the air because I'm so concentrated on what I'm doing. I have no idea she's there. She scares me all the time. But that's fine. But we can't fear. Never, never, never fear. Because God is here. For you, for me, God is here for us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus and trust the Holy Spirit. It's all in who you know. Some of it's in what you know, but basically it's in what you know, who you know. Do you know the way, the truth, and the life? Do you trust? That's all that really matters. All in who you know. And there's always hope. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be discouraged. It's all in who you know. Let's confess our faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed.